Fantastic to have your company wherever you might be listening. Dwayne's World continues with Sean Higgins. We love a McCafe coffee catch-up with Sean Higgins. He's about to join us for an extended chat. Never miss a single goal with McDelivery, available via the Uber Eats app. Tom Lynch from the Adelaide Crows will join us a little bit later on this hour as well. And a quick reminder, Urban Armour Australian-made hand sanitizer and SEN's official hand sanitizer is available now at urbanarmour.com.au. But a heap of football stuff to get to with Sean Higgins, who joins me. Welcome to you, Sean. Great to have you back on.
Thanks for having me again, Dwayne.
Where do I find you? With the birds tweeting on the balcony again today, or where are you at this point in time?
Yeah, they are in the background. We actually just arrived back to the Novotel from training, a slightly unusual few days given the four-day turnaround for us. So we had a couple of meetings this morning into a light run, which sort of doubled up as our captain's run slash main session ahead of tomorrow's clash, and another meeting this afternoon just to finalise a few things. So in between a few things, but yeah, good to catch up for another chat, which seemed to be rolling around quickly in modern footy today.
Yeah, so no hard session in between games for you guys, just almost like a recovery session. It's as light as you want it to be, in essence.
Yeah, so heavily focused on recovery. The way that we've sort of gone about it the last 3 days, almost 2 days in one. So we'd have a morning AM session and then a PM session, both heavily focused on recovery, getting movement, massage, physio treatment, in and out of the pool, the beach across the road, whatever it is that you need to do to try and make the turnaround just that little bit easier. We got moving a couple of days ago really lightly, and then, like you said, today it was just a slightly extended version of a captain's run day before a game, just to tidy up a few structures, go over a couple of things, and then really individualised in terms of what guys need to do in order for their best preparation to be feeling good come tomorrow night. And time will tell how that works, but we feel like we're in a really good place given there are only 3 days post our last game.
Now, you smashed the Crows. Are you just rubbing it in for Crows fans? Is that a real crow behind you, or is that a fake one just making noise to rub it in?
No, not at all. That was not by design. Obviously, a good result for the footy club on the weekend, though, an important one. I know we chatted last time it was important for the context of our year, but to get back on the winners list. And I think, you know, the win's one thing, but then the way you go about it and the way you play is probably even more important sometimes. So great to get the win, but it was even more pleasing. I know you did the game, but it got back to looking like the way that we've played in patches throughout the year, but we were able to bring that for four quarters.
Really gutsy move by Rhys Shaw as well to drop Ben Brown, especially given the week that he'd had, and to drop Jared Polek, who had the most possessions for you the week before and got some coaches' votes as well in that game.
Yeah, so we chatted a little bit about it last week, even around my role, and you read out the numbers. And I know, you know, people in the footy public, they get caught up on numbers a lot, and as coaches and players, we downplay that internally because it's so much more that goes into a game, even for Brownie, than just kicking goals for him. And that was the case for those two boys. There was a couple of areas that they needed to work on, and albeit there's no, you know, reserve game grade football at the moment, but go back and just work on a couple of things around playing the role. And Rhys really emphasised that the last week for us, that we all needed to get back playing our role. And that was the pleasing thing on the weekend against Adelaide, that we had 22 guys who played their role. It was a really even contribution from everyone. And in the end, turned out to be a really good day for the club.
So a completely different mindset when you go into a forward line without Ben Brown in it, when you're looking to kick the ball from the midfield?
Yeah, it is. I mean, naturally, Brownie's an unbelievable player. So he draws the football and he's a big presence up there. Just like many key forwards in the competition, their midfielders do get drawn to their leading patterns, and I thought there was still some great targets up there. Majak was a good target. Nick Larkey got some reward late in the game and hit the scoreboard, but it was what he was able to do early on in the game, bring the ball to ground in 2v1 situations, bring the smaller guys into it. So it looked a little bit more dangerous. We'd love Brandon to come back into the side at some stage, though. He's a key player for us. But, yeah, there were different avenues towards goal, and the midfielders were able to push forward and hit the scoreboard as well, which we haven't had very often this year.
And Rhys also made Majak wait for the opportunity. He had to earn his way back in, and he looked like he was in form when he came back in. So it was the right move to make in many ways, the way you look at it.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he? Because he gave us flexibility. Early on in the game, he was taking some really key intercept marks across sort of half back. He got back deep into defence, spoiled a few through for a rush behind, which was important. Gave Goldie a chop out in the ruck, which Goldie hasn't had at all this year. And the fewest minutes that Goldie played, I think, this year. So that's going to benefit the team as well. And then, obviously, to push forward late, Madge, and hit the scoreboard, which was an unbelievable moment in footy, really. But he gave us some flexibility, and it wasn't like he just came in and kicked the goal and that was the only thing he did. He was a key player for us. He gave us that flexibility, and he was more than ready to go.
Yeah, so talk us through the moment, because everybody knew it was coming. He was forward. There were a couple of options to take, but I think a lot of guys had their eyes on Madge when they were moving through the midfield to try and give him that chance.
Yeah, well, it would sort of panned out beautifully, and you just, I guess when he's lining up, you just hope that he kicks it, because it had been a good build-up. Like we mentioned, he had played well for us, so it was just the perfect script for him to finish his work off with a goal. It was actually a really nice kick in the end to finish it. I think you would know, you called the play beautifully, but I think all of us on the ground and you guys watching and calling the game, we're just hoping that he'd go back and slot it. In the end, he did. And it was a good scene. I know it was amazing the way that he handled the whole, really, the last 12 months, but more importantly, the last week. And a credit to him that there was a lot of hype around it. He still managed to play his role and have the presence of mind to go back and convert what was a pretty tough set shot from sort of 45 out. So, yeah, fitting in the end. And oh, he loved it. I touched on it last week. He's a great character. He's the heartbeat of the footy club in terms of his energy and his vibe, and the boys love him. So it's why the 17 other guys out on the field got around him.
So do you bring Ben Brown back? Do you bring Jared Pollock back? I'm not sure if you know the team already. It has to be announced in 5 hours from now. Do you know it already? And can you not tell me, or do you not know it and you can speculate?
No, I don't know. As I mentioned, we just got off the track literally within the last half hour, and we've got a meeting this afternoon. So if it's not this week, then I'm sure they'll be back. And like I said, their best footy for us is really important. They're two key players in our side, because they give us really good looks through the middle in Polly and also Brownie up forward, and they're really clear on the role that they need to bring. If it's tomorrow, if not, it'll be soon.
And if it is, if in 3 weeks' time your very best team is playing its best footy, Ben Brown's in it and Jared Pollock's in it, and Majak plays where? Forward or back? Because he is a really good defender.
Yeah, he is. Well, I'm hopeful that he can just almost float like he did on the weekend and play in the position that's needed in that moment in the game. We got to look at all three on the weekend. Started forward, then went back, went into the ruck, and then went back forward. So it gives us great flexibility. It means that Robbie Tarrant and Walks can really hold up the back six, give us a look up forward with Brownie and Larks if they're both playing. The key, I think, as well, given that we're coming into shortened periods in between games, is to give Goldie a chop out. And I thought Madge was really good in the ruck. He gave us first use at times as well. And he can get around the ground and cover the ground well, because he's in really good condition at the moment. So I couldn't give you a solid answer on the one position. I hope that he's that player that where we need him, he can fill a role, because he's so dangerous up forward. But really, even a couple of years ago in the back end of the year, he was in all Australian form across half back, being that intercept marking third defender.
And a lot of it will come down to this weekend, or tomorrow night at least, how you think you need to line up against Geelong specifically, because the team that gets picked for tomorrow night will be a specific team for Geelong. What do you think you need to beat Geelong? Have you done much on their forward scout just yet, or is that part of your meeting tonight as well?
Yeah, no, we've covered off bits of that. So you're right, because even against Adelaide, the sort of Walker was the laid out, so that changed the way that they structured up forward. Potentially, we can go with three tools if need be. We can swing it around a little bit more if they go a little bit smaller. But clearly Geelong aren't as tall as other teams up forward, depending on what they do with their ruck situation, with Blitzarves spending a bit more time in there, Radagalia drifting forward as well, and obviously Tom Hawkins, who's been a mainstay up there of the last decade. So they'll give us different looks. They've got some really dangerous half forwards who get up the ground and challenge back with Myers and these sort of players. So, yeah, it's going to be a great test for us, both coming off short spells, which is good. And Geelong, albeit getting done on the week, on the weekend, so not that long ago. But I thought that was a great game against West Coast. They got the jump on as well. So it's going to be a good challenge for us, and we're looking forward to it.
And who will you have your focus on?
Yeah, so through the midfield, you mean? Me personally? Or
For you personally.
Yeah, well, they've got, I mean, the obvious likes of Selwood, if he comes back in, Dangerfield. Duncan's had an amazing year, probably underrated, still after 10 years in the comp, but he's had a great year. The one that's been in really good form the last 2 weeks, if not more, is Guthrie. Menegola, as I mentioned before, Blitzarves has spent a bit more time up through the middle and the wings as well. So I'll play a similar role to last week. So I'm looking forward to it because they've got a quality midfield, and we've got some young guys as well in good form going through there at the moment. So it'll be a good battle.
And at the moment, are you enjoying the short break? I know it's going to be interesting to see how you pull up from your second in a short space of time, but do you think it's kind of doable? It looks like the AFL might continue to do it with rounds 13 and 14 as well.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not sure what it looks like beyond next week for us, but we've had a long time now to plan for what the 4 days would look like. We've chatted a bit about it even to you, and you sort of predict what it would be, but you're really just governed by how you pull up the week before and the game before. And touch wood, most of our guys pulled up really well, and we feel fresh and ready to go tomorrow. It's amazing the mindset, though, when you know you've got a four-day break, that you do just get back into it, as opposed to a 7 or 8 day break that maybe 2, 3, 4 days post-game, you're still feeling the effects from that. So we've adapted really well. I feel great. Was probably a little bit hesitant or unsure how I would feel coming into a 3, 4 day break, but feeling really good and ready to go. And then we'll sort of attack the next 4 day break once we get through tomorrow night.
Sometimes I say things and I sound like this old fossil from, you know, an era that's long gone, but I still see with a lot of games being played at night now in extreme dew that maybe you guys should train more in it. Is there any thought of moving training sessions to night at all to replicate the conditions perfectly?
Yeah, well, that's it's a really good point. So we've at times, particularly when we were in quarantine for the first 2 weeks, we had a few touch sessions and training sessions at night, because up here the dew does come down and it does get really slippery, even though the conditions look fine on TV. So that's a challenging part of it as well. And sometimes even the humidity and the heat means the sweat becomes a factor as well. It's just little things, but it does put a coating on the ball that makes it hard to handle. So we have catered for some touch sessions under lights and at night, and adapting even, you know, training with footies that are wet, just to acclimatise the way that the football is going to be handled at night. But it's a good point because it is a factor. And now playing midweek means chances are you're going to be playing at night, and at night there's different conditions to during the day.
And I've got to ask you about the handball. I had a look at the handball rules earlier today because I was prompted to, and I'm surprised that the new rule book doesn't say you have to propel it with your fist. You essentially just have to hit it with your fist. So the old rule of having the propulsion from your fist is no longer there. It's just a meeting of the ball being held in one hand and the fist in the other. Do you think it should be... have you seen throws that you think, wow, that was a throw, or are you happy the way it's being adjudicated right now by umpires?
I saw one the other week, but I think you're always going to see that. It's interesting. I wasn't clear on the exact wording of it and how... Clearly now, the way you described it, it's just if the fist makes contact with the ball, then that's going to be a legitimate handball. One thing that has improved in the modern game, and I know we talk a lot about goal kicking and maybe kicking in general that hasn't improved in some ways, has gone backwards, is the way that guys are able to handle the football in tight, in traffic, be clean at ground level, and then dish the ball up by hands and to find targets in close with congestion is as good as it's ever been. I know we and other teams put so much work into flicking the footies around as quickly as possible. And sometimes to the naked eye, it looks like a throw, but there is contact made. I'm pretty comfortable with where it's at. If we keep the ball moving, as long as, a clear throw is going to be paid. Maybe it's on the radar because over the last week or so, there has been one or two examples that I have noticed in games that the broadcaster has highlighted. So it's probably front of mind at the moment.
And you and the rest of the team watching more footy because it's on during the week every night? Are you sort of tending to watch more games than you normally would?
Each their own a little bit, Dwayne. I've been one that's always watched games, so I'm sort of continually watching footy, particularly now that it's on. Other guys, some may not have even known there was a game on last night, to be honest, but each to their own a little bit. The one thing you do notice is, clearly not in the car, no radio, newspaper outlets up here, so you're a little bit distanced to football, but footy on every night now, I guess. If you want to watch it, it's there for you to watch. And it's funny, where we two other Collingwood have arrived now in Melbourne, so you do sort of have a front and centre to who's playing who because it's in your face a little bit more than if you're just living in your own home.
And last one, Sean, the club's had its own incident with wives and girlfriends, but we've since had the Nathan Buckley and Brenton Sanderson incident. Even though everybody seems to have a document that makes it hard and fast, the rules is what's allowed and what's not allowed. Is there like a constant briefing process? Is it because it's hard to believe that Nathan Buckley would make a mistake, but if Bucks can make a mistake, then it makes it sound like it might be easy for someone else to make a mistake with a slip of their mind, in essence, not thinking all the time. How has that continued to be put down your throat, if you like, by your club?
Yeah, sorry, you're just breaking up a little bit, but I caught most of it. Basically, for us, if there's any grey area or doubt, is to simply ask the question. Compliance officer is full-time at the club that's across that. So that's our point of call. I'm not sure if everyone is exactly the same to that, but we are drilled that if there's any doubt or if you've got a question, there's no silly questions at the moment. Let's just get 100% clarification to make sure that we don't put a foot wrong. And it's not just, putting a foot wrong for our club. It's the competition wide, and the government up here has done a great job, and clearly we still want to put a show on for Victorians as well. So we want to make sure we do that the right way. And for us, there is obviously Brady Rawlings, GM, or Laura, who's our compliance officer that we go to if there is any doubt.
Great to have you, Sean. I better let you get back to it. Closest any Crows have got to you in a long time. I had one come through on the text, so I like that as well. You did demolish them, and hopefully we get a good game out of you guys in Geelong tomorrow night. We'll talk to you then.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Dwayne. Cheers.
Sean Higgins joining us for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Never miss a single goal with McDelivery. Adelaide's Tom Lynch stood account this hour. Simon Goodwin, Melbourne coach, has just responded to the Melbourne president, Glenn Bartlett's comments about their loss last week. We'll play that for you out of the break as well. And we'll take your calls. Come back to your calls as well. 1-300-736-736. The promise is back on. You call, you get on. We'll take your calls straight after the break on Dwayne's World.